The following collection of prayers are from Charles Spurgeon, the Puritans, other reformers and pastors. Oh, for more grace, our Father, thou dost hear us when we pray. You have provided an advocate, an intercessor in heaven now. We cannot come to you unless your Holy Spirit shall suggest desire and help us while we plead. We would ask that the subject which caused such conflict to Paul may be beyond conflict with us. We may know the Christ and have him to be our all in all. We would have the conflict about others, but we may be past it for ourselves. He is everything to us. More than all in him we find. We do accept you, Lord Jesus, to be made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We will not look out of you for anything, for everything is in you. Our sin is pardoned. Our sinful nature is subdued. We have a perfect righteousness. We have an immortal life. We have a sure hope. We have an immovable foundation. Why should we look beyond you? Why should we look within to ourselves, knowing that you shall be the only well from which we will draw the living water, the only foundation upon which we will be built? We would thrust out new rootlets this day and take fresh hold on the blessed soil in which grace has planted us. O Savior, reveal yourself anew. Teach us a little more. Help us to go a little deeper into the divine mystery. May we grip you and grasp you. May we suck out of you the nutriment of our spirit. May we be in you as a branch is in the stem. And may we bear fruit from you. Without you, we can do nothing. Forgive your servants any wanderings during the past. If we have forgotten you, don't forget us. If we had acted apart from you, forgive that act. Blot out the sin. Help us in the future to live only as we live in you, to speak and even to think, as in union with our living head. Take away from us all life which is contrary to the life of Christ. Bring us into complete subjection in him until for us to live is Christ in every single act of life. May we walk humbly with you in joyful faith in the finished work of Christ. Savior, look on your beloved ones and give blessings according to our necessities. We cannot pray a prayer that would compromise all, but you can. Great intercessor, plead for each one and get for each one of us the blessing that we want. Are we depressed? Give us stronger faith. Have we become worldly? Pardon this great offense and lead us more into spiritual things. Have we become joyous but have forgotten the source of joy? Lord, sweeten and sour that joy with the sweet perfume of your own presence. Have we to preach, and do we feel weak? Oh, be our strength. Now look in great mercy upon those who are unconverted. Lord, save them. Some are quite careless. Lord, they are dead. Come and quicken them. We cannot see, but you can. Oh, that some of the most obdurate and hardened might be softened by the touch of your Spirit this very day. And may others who are not careless, but who are even seeking after eternal life, but who are going the wrong way to work, may they be shown their error. May they be led in the way by you. May they look, and looking, live. We know how many of them are wanting to be this and that before they take Christ to be all in all. May they cease their seeking by finding everything in Christ. As you are a prayer-hearing God and a God of pardon, issue many a pardon from your heavenly court today. Sealed with the Redeemer's blood, signed with the Father's name. Oh, today, Lord, ere men grow old in sin, ere they die in their sins, save them with an everlasting salvation. from the book The Rise and Progress of Religion in the Soul by Philip Doddridge. The grateful soul rejoicing in the blessings of providence and grace, and pouring out itself before God in vigorous and affectionate exercises of love and praise. Oh, God, it is enough. I have mused and the fire burns. Psalm 39:3. But oh, in what language shall the flame break forth? What can I say but this, that my heart admires you and adores you and loves you? My little vessel is as full as it can hold, and I would pour out all that fullness before you that it may grow capable of receiving more and more. You are my hope and my help, my glory and the lifter up of mine head, Psalm 3:3. My heart rejoices in your salvation, Psalm 13:5. And when I set myself under the influences of your good spirit to converse with you, 1,000 delightful thoughts spring up at once. 1,000 sources of pleasure are unsealed and flow in upon my soul with such refreshment and joy that they seem to crowd into every moment the happiness of days and weeks and months. I bless you, O God, for the soul of mine which you have created, which you have taught me to say and hope to the happiest purpose. Where is God, my Maker? Job 35:10. I bless you for the knowledge which you have adorned it. I bless you for that grace with which I trust I may, not without humble wonder, say, you have sanctified it, though alas a celestial plant is fixed in too barren a soil, and does not flourish to the degree I could wish. I bless you also for that body which you have given me, and which you preserved, as yet in its strength and vigor, not only capable of relishing the entertainments which you have provided for its various senses, but which I esteem far more valuable than any of them for its own sake, capable of acting with some vivacity in your service. I bless you for that case and freedom with which these limbs of mine move themselves and obey the dictates of my spirit. I hope as guided by your spirit. I bless you that the keepers of my house do not tremble, nor do the strong men bow themselves, that they that look out of the windows are not yet darkened, nor the daughters of music brought low. I bless you, O God of my life, that the silver cord is not yet loose, nor the golden pole broken, Ecclesiastes 12:3, 4, and 6. For it is your hand that braces all my nerves, and your infinite skill that prepares those spirits that flow in so freely, and when exhausted, recruit so soon and so plentifully. I praise you for that royal bounty with which you provide for the daily support of mankind in general, and for mine in particular, for the various tables which you spread before me, and for the overflowing cup which you put into my hands. I bless you that these bounties of your providence do not serve, as it were, to upbraid a disabled appetite, and are not like messes of meat set before the dead. I bless you also that I eat not my morsel of meat alone, but share it with so many agreeable friends who add the relish of a social life to that of the animal life, and are seasons of common repast. I thank you for so many dear relatives at home, for so many kind friends abroad who are capable of serving me in various instances, and disposed to make an obliging use of that capacity. Nor would I forget to acknowledge your favor in rendering me capable of serving others and giving me an instance to know how much more blessed it is to give than to receive. I thank you for a heart which feels the sorrows of the necessitous, and a mind which can make it my early care and refreshment to contrive, according to my little ability, for their relief. For this also comes forth from you, O Lord, the great author of every benevolent inclination, of every prudent scheme, of every successful attempt to spread happiness around us, or in any instance to lessen distress, And surely, O Lord, if you acknowledge the pleasures of sympathy with the afflicted, much more must I bless you for those of sympathy with the happy, with those that are completely blessed. I adore you for the streams that water paradise, and maintain it in an ever-flourishing, ever-growing delight. I praise you for the rest, the joy, the transport you were given to many that were once dear to me on earth, whose sorrows it was my labor to soothe, and whose joys, especially in you, it was the delight of my heart to promote. I praise you for the blessedness of every saint and of every angel that surrounds your throne above. I praise you with accents of distinguished pleasure for that reviving hope which you have implanted in my bosom, that I shall ere long know by clear sight and by everlasting experience what that felicity of theirs is, which I now only discover at a distance through the comparatively obscure glass of faith. Even now, through your grace, do I feel myself borne forward by your supporting arm to those regions of blessedness. Even now, I am waiting for your salvation with that ardent desire on the one hand, which its sublime greatness cannot but inspire into the believing soul, and that calm resignation on the other, which the immutability of your promise establishes. And now, O God, what shall I say unto you? What but that I love you above all the powers of language to express, that I love you for what you are to your creatures who are in their various forms every moment deriving being, knowledge, and happiness from you, in numbers and degrees far beyond what my narrow imagination can conceive. But, oh, I adore and love you yet far more for what you are in yourself, for those stores of perfection which creation has not diminished, and which can never be exhausted by all the effects of it which you impart to your creatures, that infinite perfection which makes you your own happiness, your own end, amiable, infinitely amiable and venerable, where all derived excellence and happiness forgot. O you first, you greatest, you fairest of all objects, while I thus feel your sacred spirit breathing on my heart and exciting these fervors of love to you, I cannot doubt it any more than I can doubt the reality of this animal life while I exert the actings of it and feel its sensations. Surely if ever I knew the appetite of hunger, my soul hungers after righteousness and longs for a greater conformity to your blessed nature and holy will. If ever my palate felt thirst, my soul thirsts for God, even for the living God, and pants for the more abundant communication of His favor. If ever this body, when wearied with labor or journeys, knew what it was to wish for the refreshment of my bed and rejoice to rest there, my soul with sweet acquiescence rests upon your gracious bosom. O my Heavenly Father, and returns to its repose in the embraces of its God, who has dealt so bountifully with it. Psalm 116, verse 7. And if ever I saw the faith of a beloved friend with complacency and joy, I rejoice in beholding your face, O Lord, and in calling you my Father in Christ. Such you are, and such you will be for time and for eternity. What have I more to do but to commit myself to you for both, leaving it to you to choose my inheritance and to order my affairs for me, while all my business is to serve you, and all my delight is to praise you. My soul follows hard after God because His right hand upholds me. Let it still bear me up, and I shall press on toward you until all my desires be accomplished in the eternal enjoyment of you. Amen. The following prayer is by Alexander Henderson, who lived from 1583 to 1646, Scottish Puritan, and second only to John Knox as the founder of the Church of Scotland. Father, It is our fault and our infirmity, we confess in your sight, that we consider not your ways and your working. And therefore it is that we think not seriously upon that duty and obligation which we owe to you, O Lord. Your ways, many of them, have been and still are unsearchable. For who is there that has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? No created wisdom is able to fathom this depth of your working, for it is boundless and a bottomless deep. But, Lord, you have some goings and ways in the world, and especially in your own house, among your own children, which may be traced and gone into by us, which whosoever sees will acknowledge you to be wonderful in goodness, mercy, patience, yea, in justice and wrath, even in wrath against your wicked enemies, and in mercy to your own people. Lord, it has pleased you to come near to us, and that very near, and we wonder at it, and we cannot wonder enough what it is that has moved you to do so, except it be to magnify the greatness of your mercy, and shown of yourself merciful to such a miserable and sinful nation as we are. For where the greatest darkness is, their light is best shown. And so the wonder is, the greater that you do good to such an unworthy people as we are. And we will take it so from you, O Lord, to the end that your mercy may be the more highly magnified and extolled. And therefore, whatsoever is done to us, it is to be ascribed to your free grace and favor in Christ. For if you had dealt with us in wrath, we had been consumed long before now. And if we had been consumed either by your own immediate hand or by some judgment as famine or a pest or sword, as a messenger sent from you, we behold all of us to have subscribed that the Lord was most just and righteous in so doing, and confess that we had deserved it all at his hands, for despising of that rich offer of Christ, which has been made to us in the gospel, even the richest offer which was ever yet made to any people under heaven. And so the contemning of it deserves the greatest judgments. And therefore, from the very inward of our hearts, we bless and praise you, Lord, your goodness that you have manifested to us. And yet for all that, we may be yet snared, if so be that we don't take heed to ourselves what we do. For you have said you will not hold him guiltless that takes your name in vain. And if so be that we add this taking of your name in vain and are covenanting and swearing to you to our former sins, certainly we shall then be holden to be the guiltiest people of all under heaven, yea, guiltier than we were before, because if we break now, we will be breakers of a very solemn covenant. And therefore, O Lord, give us grace to consider what our duty is now, and to repent and mourn for you for sin, that so it may be a guard to us both from all fear of our enemies, and also to hold your wrath off us. And because it is faith that assures us of your mercy, and faith is not in every soul, only those who have it, on whom you bestow it, Lord, we beseech you to banish this atheism out of our hearts, and extirpate and pluck up by the roots this infidelity that is so fast planted into us, and plant that holy plant of faith into us, that so we may know that Christ and his righteousness belongs to us, and through him our prayers may ascend to you, and your blessings may descend upon us. The following prayer is by John Donne, 1st edition, 1624. O eternal and most gracious God, who has been pleased to speak to us, not only in the voice of nature, who speaks in our hearts also, and of your word which speaks to our ears, but in the speech of speechless creatures, in Balaam's ass, in the speech of unbelieving men, in the confession of Pilate, in the speech of the devil himself, in the recognition and attestation to your Son. I humbly accept your voice in the sound of this sad and funeral bell, And first I bless your glorious name, that in this sound and voice I can hear your instructions in another man's to consider mine own condition, and to know that this bell which tolls for another before it come to ring out, it come to me also. As death is the wages of sin, it is due to me. As death is the end of sickness, it belongs to me. And though so disobedient a servant as I may be afraid to die, yet to so merciful a master as you, I cannot be afraid to come. And therefore into your hands, O God, I commend my spirit. I surrender, which I know you will accept, whether I live or die, for your servant David made it, when he put himself into your protection for his life, and your blessed Son made it, when he delivered up a soul at his death. Declare thou thy will upon me, O Lord, for life and death is yours. Receive my surrender of myself now. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. And being thus, O God, prepared by your correction, mellowed by your chastisement, and conformed to your will, by the Spirit, having received your pardon for my soul, and asking no reprieve for my body, I am bold, O Lord, to bend my prayers to you for his assistance, the voice of whose bell has called me to this devotion. Lay hold upon his soul, O God, till that soul has thoroughly considered his account, and how few minutes soever it have to remain in this body. For the power of your Spirit recompense the shortness of time, and perfect his account before he pass away. Present his sins so to him that he may know what you forgive, not doubt of your forgiveness. Let him stop upon the infiniteness of those sins, but dwell upon the infinite of your mercy. Let him discern his own demerits, but wrap himself up in the merits of your Son, Christ Jesus. Breathe inward comforts to his heart, and afford him the power of giving such outward testimonies thereof, as all that are about him may derive comfort from thence, and have this edification, even in this dissolution, that though the body be going the way of all flesh, yet that soul is going the way of all saints. When your Son cried out upon the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He spake not so much in his own person as in the person of the church and of his afflicted members, who in deep distress might fear your forsaking. This patient, O most blessed God, is one of them. In his behalf and in his name, hear your Son crying to you, my God, why have you forsaken me? Don't forsake him, but with your left hand lay his body in the grave, if that be your determination upon him, and with your right hand receive his soul into your kingdom, and unite him in the communion of saints. Amen. The following prayer is taken from a book called A Token for Mariners from James Janeway, 1636 to 1674. Also the Seaman's Preacher, being a sermon on Acts 27:18 to 20, and Prayer for Seamen on All Occasions, published in 1708. A Prayer in a Storm. O Lord our God, thou hast commanded us in the day of calamity to call upon your name, and you have promised to hear us. Lord, we fly unto you, who art a refuge. Your floodgates are open, and the floods lift up their lofty ways. But you, O Lord Most High, art mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. You can in a moment, if it stand with your divine will and pleasure, rebuke the winds and the sea, and turn a storm into a calm. I know I justly deserve to be cast away, and utterly to be rejected by you. But Lord, save us, or else we perish. Accept of our unfeigned sorrow for all our sins and transgressions, and endue me with a steadfast resolution to forsake them. But merciful unto us, O God, be merciful unto us, and save us from perishing in these deep waters. O refresh us with your mercy, and that soon, lest we go down to the place of silence. O comfort us in this great distress, that though the sea rage and swell, our hearts may be quiet and still in this time of our disconsolation. And as I earnestly desire to be protected from this great peril and danger, which now terrifies us, so I earnestly beseech you that you will forever fill my heart with such an awful dread of your name, and praise your power in the great congregation. Awake my dull and drowsy soul from the sloth of sin, and renew a right spirit within me. Fill me with the gifts of grace of your Holy Spirit, that I may live the life of the righteous and never forget your loving kindness. Save us now from death, I beseech you, from the merciless waves, who are now ready to swallow us up, and bring us home in safety for your Son Jesus Christ's sake, our only Lord and Savior. Amen. Prayer number 2, James Janeway, a thanksgiving after a storm. I praise and glorify your holy name, O Lord, for all your mercies and blessings vouchsafed unto me, especially for this your last great deliverance, in which I was encompassed in that wide ocean, whom you have set bounds and limits to. If you, O Lord, hadst not been on my side, the sea had swallowed me up quick, and I had gone down into the deep silence. But you have been my God and my deliverer, and have put a new song into my mouth, a song of praise and thanksgiving unto my God. I acknowledge, O Lord, that thou art the God of all the earth and of them that remain in the broad sea. Blessed forever and magnified your name, that thou have not cast me out of your sight and turned your mercy from me. I've escaped the raging sea, and the noise of the proud waves have done me no harm. If your almighty providence had not protected me, streams had gone over my soul. The stormy wind and tempest I have narrowly escaped. The storm has ceased, and I am safely delivered. And now what shall I render to you, O Lord, for this and all your other great benefits? I will offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will pay my vows I so solemnly made to you when I was in trouble. I will evermore remember that my help is in the Lord who made heaven and earth, and that you are that God that can and will deliver me. Let this your mercy and loving kindness never depart my memory, but let me praise your goodness and sing of your power unto my life's end. Amen. The final prayer in this collection is from James Janeway, a prayer to be said before a fight at sea against any enemy. O most powerful and glorious Lord God, the Lord of hosts, that rules and commands all things, you sit in the throne judging right, and therefore we make our address to your divine majesty in this our necessity, that you would take the cause into your own hand and judge between us and our enemies. Stir up your strength, O Lord, and come and help us, for you give not always the battle to the strong, but can save by many or by few. O let not our sins now cry against us for vengeance, but hear us, your poor servants, begging mercy and imploring your help, and that you would be a defense to us against the face of the enemy. Make it appear that you are our Savior and mighty Deliverer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.